Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Boca Podcast. It is exciting to be back. It's been a little while. And if you see me kind of glancing around at my screen a little frantically, it's been a little while. My guest, who I'll introduce here in just a second, and I were talking earlier, and he was talking about being rusty. I'm like, yeah, I'm kind of just trying to make sure I've got all the bases covered. It has been a little bit. And I appreciate everyone's patience. I've had messages saying, hey, are you going to do another show? When's the next show coming out? We'd intended to obviously continue to push episodes out a couple of times a month or so. And man, I got tied up with a lot of what I was tied up with actually is a new project, a new company that we launched at Cheezoo, CHEEZOO.com, if you're curious. But I've been quite busy. And so I'm excited now to be able to kind of get back into the podcast. Again, I mentioned previously that we're going to do two episodes a month. That's about what I want to continue to shoot for moving forward. Doing an episode today. We've got another one coming up Friday, and we'll continue to push out at least a couple of episodes a month. And so I appreciate your patience. It's good to have you back. I appreciate those of you who are live streaming with us that are here. Feel free to say hello. Let me know where you're chiming in from, where you're listening from. And of course, once we get into the interview, if you've got questions or comments along the way, feel free to also share those as we go. Last quick note, of course, as always, the show is produced by Photographers Edit, custom editing for the professional wedding and portrait photographer. And you can go to photographersedit.com for more information, especially during this busy season. You can outsource your image editing and not have to stress out so much. Actually go do stuff that will make you money, maybe watch Netflix, whatever you want to do. You'll have more time in your life as a result. So make sure to check out photographersedit.com. And on that note, I want to go ahead and introduce, it's actually a return guest is here with me, Cody McCracken. And Cody, I've got to say, I don't know that I commented on this before, but you've got the most incredible last name, McCracken. Like, how much cooler a last name can you have than that? I'm impressed.
Yeah, people always like, reminds me of that squid on sci-fi, or what's Kraken McCracken?
Yeah. Yeah. Or was it McLovin? What was that? Was that Super Bad or something like that? The movie?
Oh, yeah.
McLovin was.
I haven't heard that one yet.
Okay.
It's always McCracken or Kraken, always.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you coming back on the show. And it's been a little bit. Let's see, episode four. I made note here. I think it was 455, actually.
Wow.
That you did the show. And that was probably at this point a couple of years or so ago. We did a brand position consultation. I will link to that episode in the show notes at bocapodcast.com when we publish this episode. Of course, for anybody listening in who may be new to the show, this is going out on Facebook. It's going out on YouTube at Boca, B-O-K-E-H podcast. And then we also publish this to the blog on the Photographer's Edit site. You can just go to bocapodcast.com and check out the show notes, the links and so forth to go with the episode. Cody, I'm trying to think of anything else that I haven't mentioned in a little while, since we're kind of fresh back in 2 or 3 months. But I think that's good enough for now. Again, for anybody that's live streaming, don't be shy. Comment, say hello, let me know where you're listening in from. And on that note, Cody, let's just jump right into the show. For those of you listening in and watching who are, again, new to the show, I ultimately want the show to be focused on helping photographers build sustainable businesses, Cody. And for me, in my mind, what that means is we have a business, certainly got to put a lot of work and time into it, but it doesn't end up being a very sustainable business if we just get burned out, if we're always working, if we're staying up late, working long hours all the time, and we don't ultimately take advantage of the freedom and flexibility that we can have as business owners. And so on that note, just as kind of an introduction before we get into our big topic today around SEO, I'm curious if there's something, a couple of principles that have enabled you to maintain a certain level of freedom and flexibility in your life as a photography business owner. What's that? What comes to mind for you?
Yeah, definitely. It's actually charging your worth and like understanding that photography is a number game. I hear so many people, it's like, oh my gosh, like, you know, I have to have like 30 weddings, 40 weddings. And it's like, but you can charge more and book less. It's a numbers game. If you need to make, you know, let's say 50K, I'm in a small area, so 50K, you know, kind of realistic. But instead of being like, hey, I'm going to get 50 weddings at $1,000, be like, hey, I'm just going to book, you know, 10 weddings at 5K. It seems like a lot of people, they think if I'm not booking a lot, I'm not successful, but it's like, value your time. You only have so many weekends with your family, or like me with your cats. I love my cats.
How many cats
charge
do you have?
For work? I got 3 cats, and obviously I'm married, so we're like a crazy cat family.
Okay, awesome. I don't have a cat currently. Gus, my daughter's cat, is not here at the moment, but, and I kind of miss him actually. When she's off at college and he moved out as well. And, but I, there's something about a cat that's kind of fun. I'm also a dog guy. I guess I'm just, I like pets in general. It's just kind of a fun thing to be able to, it's funny how we kind of end up developing these unique relationships with them too, the companionships with them. Nonetheless, I won't go too far down that rabbit hole, but, you talk about the idea of charging more and ultimately giving yourself more freedom, more flexibility as a result. And that really is interesting. And in fact, you may be the first person to actually highlight that as an idea that enables more freedom, more flexibility. You're right. Lower price point means higher volume, which means more work more often. Higher price point does enable us to have a bit more freedom and flexibility. Myself and my business partner did that with our wedding photography business as well. And it was incredible. But I guess the caveat to that is that part of the market that can afford the higher price point, obviously, as the prices continue to raise, the market gets smaller and smaller, right? So how do you, especially in a small market like you're talking about, how do you manage to raise, and this is a big topic, we won't go too far into this, but your initial thoughts on how to raise prices in a relatively small market, especially in the context of there are less and less people that can actually afford the higher price point.
Yeah, it's pretty much how you used to say the whole, you know, skateboarding for black and white, you know, lovers of photography. I think that's what it was. Like by being higher priced, that's actually its own brand statement. It's like, oh, like why is this guy in my market way higher than everyone else? So it kind of gives you like the luxury feel. And there's actually a type of demographic of people who value spending more money. It's like, hey, you know, there's this nice car. It's going to be safe for me and my family. You know, it's like I can have peace of mind knowing that, you know, if I get in a wreck, everybody's okay. So same goes for like wedding photography. If they see a higher price, you're kind of just putting in that mark like, hey, this is somebody I can trust. Now, obviously, you have to, you know, give a good experience. You can't just be, you know, like half butt it and be like, hey, I'm $5,000 when everybody else is one.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to show the value, but having the high price in itself is a brand statement.
Interesting. Yeah. And it's important like you said, to first create the experience that surrounds it. So people see that price point. They also know that they're going to get with that an experience that goes far and above what they might get if they're going to go pay less. I mean, we see this all over the marketplace. I can go to, just to take one example, I can go to Whole Foods and that is an experience in and of itself, or I can go to Walmart and I'm going to save money, but it's just going to be a drastically different experience. Yeah. Relatively simplistic example, but of course there are endless examples like that throughout the marketplace. Interesting. Well, again, that could be a topic in and of itself, a loaded one at that. But this is a really interesting perspective. And for those of you who are building your full-time professional photography business, or even if you're only part-time right now, considering raising your prices for the sake of being able to shoot less and have a bit more freedom, flexibility, definitely an interesting point of consideration. Patrick, by the way, says hello from Atlanta. Patrick, thanks so much for chiming in, saying hello, and also for joining us today. Really appreciate that. And for the rest of you who may be live streaming with us, don't be shy. Say hello, ask questions, comment along the way, and be part of the conversation. That's one of the benefits of being part of this live stream. Well, Cody, let's go ahead and just jump right into it. The topic for today, not just SEO, we've talked about SEO a number of times in the podcast before, but more specifically, the importance of topical content. We'll get to what that means here in just a little bit. But interestingly enough, when you and I were chatting a little bit about what direction to go in the conversation, I'm going to quote you directly here. You said, most SEO people talk about keyword density or backlinks. And you're right, you hear about that quite a bit. You said, I feel like I'm different because I go over topical content and how to make user experience on your site better, therefore resulting in better rankings. So, Rusty, just back, haven't had or done a podcast in a little bit of time, I didn't bring up your website yet. Let me go ahead and do this just to give context to everybody who is listening in. So for everyone listening in, first of all, you can follow Cody at OneFocusPhotos on Instagram. I did post that on screen earlier, but make sure to go check out his work. Cody's an active photographer. But then I wanted to bring up your website as well, because not only are you a wedding photographer, but then you're also offering consulting, if you will, to photographers around the SEO topic. Is that right?
Yes, correct.
Okay. And can they actually link directly from the site here? I don't have the direct URL set up for your SEO consulting.
Yeah, that's just kind of like something I kind of send them kind of like how people send PDFs and stuff.
Sure. Okay, so if anybody is interested then, and oh, it looks like I'm frozen. Let's see if we can come off frozen mode 1 second. Oh, still frozen. That's kind of weird. Still frozen here. All right, 1 second here, everybody listening in. Can you still hear me, Cody?
Yeah, definitely. Yes.
All right.
Yeah, and while he's fixing the webcam, if you can hear me, if you're watching and you have like questions when I go over SEO, because I know it's, you know, crazy to understand, it's big stuff. Don't, you know, feel free to just shoot a question in the comments and I can answer it for you. Good old technology, though.
There we go. Yes, technology. Okay, we have audio. Still got to figure out the video part of it. But what I was going to say, Cody, is for those listening in who are interested in your consulting services, they can just send you a DM. Is that the best way to go?
Yeah, that's Instagram. Fine.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And of course, you'll get more context to what Cody has to know, his knowledge base here as we get further into this content. Forgive the technical issues. I guess this is just part of coming back after a long time. Cody, let me see if I can. I'm going to turn my, let's see here. Let me switch. Aha. Okay. Give me 1 second. Everybody loves that very overly excited freeze frame of my face there on the screen. All right. Let's see if we can do this here. All right. Come back. Still not. Okay. We're going to figure this out here now. Thanks, everybody, for your patience as we're trying to figure this out. Let me add this is a weird one. All right. Well, Cody, I don't want to keep everybody else waiting. So let me go ahead and ask, can you still hear me okay?
Yeah, sure can.
Okay, cool. So while you're talking, I'm going to figure out the video part of this. But let me go ahead and ask this first question then. So you talked about how you tend to focus more on topical content versus the focus on keyword density and backlinks, like most SEO specialists seem to do. So we're going to actually get into topical content, what that means, how to go about developing it here in just a second. But just as an introduction, if you will you go ahead and just sum up your recommendations on both keyword density and backlinks? And I know you mentioned to me ahead of time that you've got one key idea for each of those. Go ahead and take that away, and I'm going to see if I can figure out this video situation.
Sounds good. First, I'd like to kind of describe what keyword density is and what backlinks are. I like to break stuff down where it's easy to understand, because a lot of people use these big jargon words and you're left thinking, what the heck is this? Basically, what keyword density is and how I treat it is Google's so smart at reading websites. They can tell by the words you use, like what you do. So what some people say is, hey, just, you know, put your keyword in there like 100 times. That would be like, you know, you bump into someone at the supermarket and they're like, hey, my name's Cody. I'm a plumber. I do plumbing services. This morning I was doing plumbing and man, it was just a rough plumbing day. You'd be like, why do you keep saying plumbing? And you would actually even question if they're actually a plumber. But if you use your copy on your website in a way that it's like, hey, my name's Cody, you know, I'm a plumber, man, I was working on this sewage pipe this morning and it you know, bursted. I got sewage all over the floor. It's, you know, smelt real bad. You're like, okay, you're using words like, you know, sewage, plumbing, pipes. So that's how I think we should use keyword density. We need to be very, very smart with our copy so we can like convey what we do without sounding, you know, just spammy saying the same thing over and over. It'd also be the same if I was like, hey, I'm an SEO specialist. I do SEO. I like SEO. SEO's cool. You're going to be like, okay, you're not even using common jargon around the niche. So same goes for density. And as far as backlinks, what a backlink is it's basically a digital referral. So it's kind of like if you're on Facebook and you're like, hey, you know, I need somebody to, you know, cut my hair, or I'm looking for, you know, someone to do makeup. If someone comments on there and like, hey, you know, I know this really great person down the road. That's how backlinks are. A backlink is basically a digital referral. So it's like a website, like the Boca podcast. Hey guys, you know, I interviewed Cody today. Here's his website. That's a backlink. So as far as my recommendations on both, for density, be very specific with your copy. Instead of just spamming your, you know, whatever keyword you're trying to target 100 times, you know, be very peculiar with what words you use. If you're a wedding photographer, maybe you use words like bride, groom, wedding, ring, engagement, instead of just spamming, you know, Virginia wedding photographer 1,000 times on your page. And as far as backlinks, you definitely want to get as much digital referrals as you can. But some people think, you know, hey, I'm going to buy, you know, 1,000 spammy backlinks and that's going to be good. And it's not. We need the right niche people to be referring us. So if you're a wedding photographer, if you can get a wedding specific digital referral, aka backlink, that's much better than just getting some spammy, you know, another country, you know, backlink, if that makes sense.
Okay, forgive me, Cody. I'm chiming back in.
No, you're fine.
Can you hear me?
Ooh, I can hear you and see you now moving. So you're
okay.
Good.
Yeah. So that's just my that's my little FaceTime camera. I'm gonna see if I can replace that with. Aha, we're back. Okay, we're gonna.
Yes.
We're good to go. Yes. Okay. Set. Yes. I think what actually happened is it's this weird. I turned the setting off now, but there was this weird setting that was turned on where if I guess motion with my hand, it created an emoji on screen. And that's what actually, I don't know if you saw the little bubble with the thumbs up, but that's what froze the whole thing, which is super, wow. Super weird. But apologies to everybody for the tech issues there, but we're back and hopefully we'll go a little bit more smoothly moving forward. Cody, I appreciate you breaking that down in so much detail, the answer to both those questions. And for those of you that may just be joining us, I see we have more joining us. Don't be shy. Say hello. Ask questions along the way. This is a pretty deep topic. And of course, with our limited episode length, we can only go so deep into it. But today we're focused more specifically in the realm of SEO on the topic of topical content. And but I asked Cody to kind of give an introductory set of thoughts there on what is generally talked about when it comes to SEO, of course, which is keyword density and backlink. So once again, I appreciate you sharing your thoughts there on that, Cody. So let's then move on to that, because in that quote, you said, I feel like I'm different because I go over topical content and how to make user experience on your site better, therefore resulting in better rankings. So let's actually get into, first of all, the significance of user experience. And I've been thinking about this quite a bit, not just with our websites, but also in app development, because I've been head down deep in app development now for some time. User experience really goes a long way when it comes to creating a great customer experience. We were talking about customer experience earlier, especially if we're going to charge more. Super, super important to have a really great user experience. But how is user experience tied to SEO? Because I'm not sure that I would have jumped to thinking that that would actually matter.
Yeah, definitely a couple of ways. For one, I always like to say, imagine you're Google. If you're showing a website where someone clicks on it and, you know, they're just super scrolling through the page and then jump off the page, would you suggest that page? You know, no. So Google also looks at like session duration and bounce rate, because they want to obviously provide a good experience. So just like you do photographer's edit, if you have an editor who takes, you know, 1 minute on a project and it's like really bad, you know, you're going to get rid of them. Well, same goes for SEO. If you have a website that people click on it and they just don't do that, they're not, you know, clicking to the next page, they're not, you know, filling out a contact form, they're only spending like 5 seconds on your page, Google's just never going to, you know, bump you up. Because why would they? Because would you do it? Would you, you know, want someone to find a website that they're just not spending time on? No. Google's all about, you know, helping the searcher, like making sure they're finding the information they need, making sure they're, you know, having a good experience, not that they're just clicking a page and jumping off immediately. So user experience, by having a page that people can navigate easy, they're spending a lot of time on it, Google's going to show you more because you're like providing a good experience.
That makes sense. Okay. That, yeah, I guess I just didn't put two and two together. You're absolutely right. So good user experience means they enjoy their time on the site a lot more. And then as a result, they spend more time there, which naturally boosts your rankings in SEO. So again, this is a topic and a loaded one, again, at that we could spend a lot of time on. But just off the top of your head, when you're thinking about this user experience, What are a few recommendations that you might have, either based on your personal experience or maybe even what you've observed in the industry as you're looking at other photographers' websites? What are a few recommendations to improve the user experience that photographers should be considering for their website?
Okay. The first one is actually big. Have a clear call to action. There's so many people that I work with that you get to the bottom of the page and there's just nothing there. So at that point, you're just kind of like, man, please go to the next page. Please scroll up and, you know, find something to click. It's having clear call to actions, like multiple spots, not just, you know, having a contact form somewhere. Cause you have to kind of treat, you know, people are new to websites. You kind of have to treat them like a kid. Like you want to handhold them through your website. Like, hey, you know, this is who I am. This is what I do. This is what's in it for you. And this is the next step. So if you can like guide them through that, you're going to get, you know, more duration because they're going to trust you while they're viewing your pages. They don't have to think about it, as they say.
That makes a lot of sense. The one of the things that I say to my team a lot, especially again in app development, but I think it's applicable to a website as well, is a 10-year-old needs to be able to use it without issue, without having to ask questions and dig around for an FAQ. And a 70-year-old, or you know, fill in the blank for whatever makes sense, needs to be able to use it. Like if a 10-year-old and a 70-year-old can get on that site or get on that app and use it without asking questions, or at least very many questions, then you're doing a good job. But it's interesting how a lot of times I think photographers get so obsessed with the idea of being artsy or creative, which unfortunately only really matters as much anyway to their fellow photographers, not to the end client, that it takes away from the actual user experience. So they're getting creative and the page looks fancy and all these, but at the end of the day, if the user doesn't know what to do next, then it actually hurts the user experience and they may not even stay on the website.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay, cool. So first step to improving user experience, which of course encourages people to be on the site longer, is a clear call to action. What do I do next? Okay, you gave me this information. You got some pretty pictures. What's the next step that I'm supposed to take? Give that to them with a big button, clear text, easy to read. And that's the first recommendation. Okay, take us to the second one, if you will.
Okay. The second one would be to meet website assumptions. When anytime anyone goes to a website, they have these pre-mental ideas of what to expect. For the first thing, it's if I want to reach out to the person, top right corner should be a contact button. I see so many people that kind of put it in the middle. Like it's like, oh, you know, I just think it looks cool in the middle to have, you know, inquire in the middle. But it's like, you want to be easy for them. The more they have to think about something, the more they're getting fatigue on your website, which means they're going to click off. You want everything to be smooth. And I'll also say, you know, for buttons, like be clear, like what's going to happen. I see people put slogans in their buttons, like you can get this too or something. And it's like, why would they click that? They don't know where that button's going to take them. It's better to be precise and say, hey, click here to see the experience I provide. Click here to learn more about me. Click here to reach out. Don't say something like, you can get this too, or do you cherish your wedding? Use clear, precise wording so they know what's going to happen.
Yeah. And what's funny about the questions like, do you cherish your wedding, is of course, like the answer to the question is obvious. But this goes back to what we were just talking about a second ago, which is that idea of not trying to get too creative. Just use really straightforward everyday language, and ultimately, to your point, match the expectations of the user in the user experience. Yeah. We were thinking about, I've thought about this too before, and with navigation, you mentioned navigation specifically, like what words, I can try to get creative with the words that I'm using in my navigation. Like what can I use instead of pricing? But people just know the word pricing. Investment, I understand to a point, and that's still a word that most people are going to understand what it is that you're talking about. So maybe that would work. But rather than trying to get fancy or creative, give them the obvious words and user experience that they're just comfortable with, that they're used to, so they don't have to use brain power to try to figure that stuff out. Instead, they can focus on, hey, I really like these images and I want to figure out how to book the person now. Like make it super easy for them to do those things, right?
Mm-hmm. That's I agree. And I'll also use my wife for lingo because she's not a photographer. So I'll be like, Perfect. Hey, does this word make sense to you? Like, what do you think about? And she'll like correct me and be like, no, it doesn't make sense. And I'll change it.
Yeah, that's really, really good. Actually, we for some time, actually, Jill worked, many who've listened to the show now for a while would know, Jill produced the show for Boca Podcast and was on our marketing team at Photographers Edit and all the different brands. And she's actually since gone back into the education field that she came from. But having somebody come onto the team for a couple of years who did not have experience in the photography industry was invaluable, because here was somebody who didn't know the lingo, who didn't think like a photographer, and could lend incredible insight to refining the user experience and thinking about the words that we're using and give that kind of contextual insight, which was just, it was awesome. So I think that's a really great recommendation. Let's stop thinking like we're building things for other photographers who know and understand what it is that we're doing. Let's get the perspective of those who are outside the industry to help us refine that user experience. I really, really love that. By the way, Larry says, late but made it. Larry, thanks so much for coming and joining the show today. And don't worry, you missed the technical difficulties being rusty just back into the podcast. So you're here for the good stuff. And of course, you can always rewind. I appreciate everybody listening in and watching. So let's go to the third recommendation then, Cody, for improving user experience. What should photographers be thinking about when it comes to improving the user experience so they keep visitors on their site even longer?
Okay. It's actually a really big tip, and it's probably the one thing I see many people do, but treat your website like photography. You have each individual frames of your site, like this frame's my introduction, this frame's about me. Each frame should have a clear focal point. So just like a photo, you know, if you stick, you know, someone in a bush and it's all, you know, messy and a busy background, it's going to be hard to see your subject, right? So treat each frame like it's a blank canvas, but you have a clear focal point, like one certain spot they should be looking at. And it's nice and neat. It's easy to read. I see so many people, they either have like a bunch of photos in one frame, they just like spam across, or they'll have, you know, a bunch of text, you know, a big chunk of text. It's like, hey, break it down, treat it like a photo. It should look appeasing to your eyes. It should be easy to read. It should look nice and neat, because that's going to make you look more professional. And it should actually have them engage and not just want to like scroll past and be like, I ain't going to read all that, you know, huge block of text.
Yeah. I'm glad you bring up the text. And for those who listen to the show regularly, they know I kind of harp on too much text, because photographers get carried away with it. Obviously, you have to have a certain amount of relevant text for the sake of SEO. But photographers get so carried away a lot of times with, again, trying to be creative and artsy. They go a little bit too far, I think, a lot of times with the idea of talking about themselves, when the client may want to know a little bit about you, but they're ultimately there to learn about what you can do to add value to their life as a photographer, not to hear you talk about yourself. A lot of the websites that have a more creative kind of artistic bent do tend to kind of get a little bit convoluted. And I don't think I've ever heard somebody describe it the way that you just did. I think it's brilliant. Have a focal point. Like you said, just like we would think about when we're going to frame an image, have a focal point. Don't put so much in an area that their eyes are jumping all over the place and not actually being guided to what you talked about earlier, that clear CTA. What should I do next? Man, this is really good stuff. I love that. Super practical. Okay, so we're improving SEO, first of all, by considering user experience, because improving user experience keeps people on the site longer and ultimately can improve our rankings in Google's eyes. And the three recommendations, Cody, that you made were: one, make sure that there is a clear call to action or calls to action so they know what to do next. Number two, meet website assumptions or expectations. Give them a user experience that they're familiar with, that they would expect, so that they don't have to put any more creative energy into trying to figure out how to use your website. Just get them to where you want it to be, which is ultimately to book you. And then number three, treat your website. I'm looking at my notes here. Treat your website like photography. Have a clear focal point. I really, really love that. I think that's invaluable. And for those of you listening in or watching, go take a look, especially at your homepage right now, and consider these three points that Cody just shared. If you make some improvements in all three of these, I bet if you actually look at your Google Analytics, you'll notice an improvement in the amount of time that people are spending on your site. That's really great, Cody. So I want to then move from that to the other point that you made in the reference, which is about topical content. So we improve the user experience. We also need to focus more on topical content. Let's first define what that phrase means, if you will.
Okay. Topical content, it's basically in the phrase itself. It's content about the topic. So in other words, instead of just saying, hey, you know, I'm this wedding photographer, but I'm trying to see if I should go too deep into it, but
run with it. General, go for it.
Okay. In general, it's basically, if you look at websites like The Wedding Wire and The Knot, they have all these helpful articles for people, like how to find a DJ, songs you should play at your wedding, best time for a wedding ceremony, what type of florals there are. There's different topics around the whole content, or like the niche. So you want to show Google, hey, you know, I know this niche. I'm not just putting up photos and saying I'm a wedding photographer. I know lingo around the niche. I know, you know, the topics around the niche. So it's using the content strategically to say, hey, I know what I'm talking about. And not only that, but I can like help people who are searching for, you know, common, you know, concerns about, you know, a certain topic. Maybe they're typing in, you know, what time should I have a wedding ceremony? And then Google's like, man, this person has an article about that. That's very helpful.
So just to be clear, first of all, to kind of put this in a bit more context, when you're talking about topical content, are we speaking about topical content on a blog or just in the general website pages? Where are we thinking about putting this content?
It's being very strategic as far as you can do blogs, or sometimes I even just do like an unlisted page, but it's basically, I guess you could say in better lingo, you could make a blog like taking advantage of topics. Like maybe you do an article, you know, perfect time for wedding ceremony. Maybe you're doing an article on top five venues in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Maybe you're doing an article about songs you should play for your first dance. Maybe you do an article on songs you should play during your father-daughter dance. It's being very strategic to where you're, in general, people on Google, they're on there for, you know, questions, or they're looking for something. So find out what questions it is that your ideal client are looking for and answer them. By doing that, Google's like, you know what? He's answered all these questions from this one person. So when, you know, when they search for Chattanooga black and white skateboard and photographer, they're going to see this person who answered those questions.
I love that you referenced that. For anybody who may be newer to the show, if you haven't heard the brand position consultations before, we talk about the significance of having a clear, number one, and two, distinct brand position or value proposition. And the example that I tend to give is black and white wedding photography for Chattanooga skateboarders. So you have wedding photography as the service. A lot of photographers will talk about, I'm a wedding photographer. And, you know, 15 other photographers in town or 50 other photographers in town say the same thing. So that doesn't differentiate. So now I'm a wedding photographer. Who's my target market? Or the variation on the service is the black and white wedding photography. I only photograph in black and white. My target market is Chattanooga, the market, skateboarders, the individuals in that marketplace. And now I've really niched down. So for anybody who's missing the reference, that's what that's about. And you can check out the brand position consultations and old episodes of the podcast as well. But so let's kind of go back to what you were talking about, because you made a really interesting point, and maybe you're going to build on this here in just a little bit. I know you've got some recommendations for photographers about how they can go about improving the topical content or adding to the topical content on their site. But you said that that you should know what it is, the questions that your target market might have. And in order, if you know the answers to those questions, you can provide those, then there's just natural, this puzzle comes together, right? You've got the potential client who needs value add content to answer their questions. You know what questions they have, you provide that content, and now there's a really beautiful match. How do you go about learning the questions that that target market has?
There's actually one recommendation I have. There's this website, I'm sure everybody's heard of Ubersuggest, but he also has this other website called Answer the Public. Pretty sure it's Answer the Public, or it's Ask the Public, but I'm pretty sure it's Answer the Public. But you just basically put in what your niche is. Like you could say plumbing, you could say photography, you could say makeup. But basically once you do, it literally searches the whole internet and it sees like what's the most common questions asked for it. So for photography, maybe it's like, you know, how much, you know, is photography cost? How do I have good lighting during receptions? What kind of florals photograph well? Or maybe for plumbing, it's like, how do I fix a leaky toilet? How do I fix a hissing toilet? Yeah. So it kind of breaks down and it tells you what people are searching for. But you could also just get on Facebook and say, you know, hey, like, I know you're planning for your wedding. What are some questions that you have that you just can't seem to find easily? And you could get it that way too.
Okay. And to anybody who may not know what Cody is referencing, I'm going to pull this up on screen, but you can just Google Ubersuggest. Neil Patel has put together some pretty amazing resources if you've never heard of him before. But just Google Ubersuggest and you'll see what Cody's talking about there. And then again, the same thing for Answer the Public. You can actually just go directly to answerthepublic.com and also see that tool. We'll link to these in the show notes at bokapodcast.com. For anybody who's curious, you can go check those out once this episode gets published. But all right, so that's some ideas as to how to go about understanding what questions our potential clients might have. And forgive me if we kind of overlapped into the content you're about to share, but the question, the natural question that I have here is, if we're going to improve the topical content that we offer on our site, what recommendations do you have, Cody, to photographers listening in? They're like, oh yeah, that may be something that I need to improve, whether on my blog or on my site. How do they go about doing that? What are some suggestions?
Okay. I have a three for them. My first one is like answer common questions that couples have and they're looking for. I did kind of touch on that before, but it's basically find out what questions are being asked, because I promise you there's not many people answering those questions. I have people all the time like, hey man, especially like ceremony time or like wedding timeline tips. I have so many people come to me and it's like, I just don't know what I'm doing. Like, I can't find any helpful resources on it. So by making that content, you're building authority with that couple. They're thinking, man, this dude knows like about weddings. Like, no wonder he charges, you know, $2,000 more than everyone in my area. He has helpful advice for me, and I know my wedding's in good hands.
Okay, that's good. So answer common questions, and again, for the sake of figuring out what those questions might be, of course, you can use those resources that we just mentioned. Take us to number two, if you will.
Okay. Number two would be to reach brides no matter what they're searching for. So many people just go for like, you know, Chattanooga wedding photographer, New York wedding photographer, but they're searching for other things. They're searching for wedding venues. They're searching for questions. They're searching for, you know, answer to solutions. You want to be like a spider web. No matter what a client is searching, you want them to see you. The more times they see you, what's that phrase? They have to see you like 8 times before they book you or something. So
sure.
The more times they see you, the more likely they're going to be like, man, I'm seeing this dude everywhere. I searched for Chattanooga wedding venues and he had this helpful article that showed pictures of each venue and talked about the pros and cons of each venue and even helped me with like price point. When I searched for, you know, what time to have my wedding ceremony, he blew my mind and said, you know, you should have your ceremony, you know, 2 hours before golden hour, because that allows, you know, your portraits to be in very soft light after your ceremony. Like, I can tell this guy really cares about, you know, weddings and the whole niche in general. So I'm going to trust him. Like I'm going to give him a chance. I'm just going to get on the phone with him and see, you know, what else he can offer. And then you blow him away on the phone call. And it's like, man, I found my wedding photographer.
Yeah, and this kind of builds on that first concept of figuring out what questions people have. I really like this perspective, though. And again, I don't think I've quite thought about it this way before. It's when we're thinking about, for example, a bride. And by the way, these principles Cody's sharing, you really can translate them to any genre of photography. But in the context of wedding photography, we're thinking about a bride. Naturally, they need to find a venue or they need to find a florist. And so there's a bit more specific recommendations as to the type of content. But just thinking broadly, what does a bride or groom want to search for in the process of putting their wedding together? And we could literally write articles for all of that. It's value-add content. It ultimately draws them to our site. And we know enough, even as just as wedding photographers, we may not be bakers or florists or wedding venue owners, but we know enough, having photographed in these scenarios so many times, that we still have a lot of value that we can add to the conversation. And by the way, I'll just throw out this little tip. I don't know if you've done this, Cody, but ChatGPT is a really powerful resource too, to help us put together this type of content. It's a no-brainer. I'm so impressed. I mean, this is an old topic at this point. Obviously, it's been around for a bit now and people have used it quite a bit. But even just the other day, I went in. I mean, this is basic information to be asking ChatGPT, and you'll get answers just like that, and really good ones that are probably way better written than you would have even known how to write it, grammatically speaking, structured, outlined, like just beautiful stuff. The other day, I was actually working on the Boca Podcast blog, the individual posts that we pushed out. I'm updating our site with a new podcast player with the host that we're currently using. And there was something about the code that needed to be, the way that the player was rendering on our site just didn't look right. It was too small. It wasn't adjusting formatting for mobile, et cetera. So I literally copied the code that I was putting on our, attempting to put on our site, took it to ChatGPT, said, hey, this isn't working for me. Gave it a little bit of context, literally just talked to it like I was sharing with a developer who would have a knowledge base about writing code. I said, here's the situation. Here's the code. Copy pasted the code in there, enter. And it literally said, it's doing this because blah, 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 blah. And here's what you can do. It literally gives me the code. Here's what you can do to fix that issue. I copied it. Boom. Fixed. Done. Just like that. And again, that's way more technical than these kinds of things. So to think that we have this amazing resource, I mean, Google's incredible, has been for a long time, but we're taking it steps further now, and it's actually doing the work for us. We can go to something like ChatGPT to pull this content together, even if we understand it, to quickly pull it together in a really nice, structured, organized way. We push it to our site. We make it more contextual. If we live in Chattanooga, Tennessee, we're going to make sure that it's written specifically in the context of Chattanooga, Tennessee, just as one example. But we can write these articles. So one, answer common questions, the first recommendation. To kind of build on that idea, reach brides no matter what they're searching for. So just in the broad topic of weddings, what all would they be searching for? It doesn't just have to be about photography. Write some articles, put together some content for that purpose, and make sure that that is on your site. What's the third recommendation?
The third recommendation is by like making, you know, topical content, you're proving to Google that you are an authority and that you know your niche better than anyone else in your like competition, because they're going to look, I mean, we have what, probably 1,000 or more photographers every single city. So if you're the only photographer answering questions and you have helpful articles about the content, they're going to be like, I'm more likely to show this guy because he knows what he's talking about. Like if you had, you know, a website about cereal and you have articles, you know, about what different types of cereals there are, what kind of milk goes best with it, is, you know, cereal healthy, they're going to be like, man, like he really knows this topic, instead of just being like, hey, buy my cereal. And a kind of bonus tip for anyone who isn't a wedding photographer, I should have said before.
Are you going to share your favorite milk to go with the cereal? Is that the bonus tip?
Yes.
Are you a strawberry milk guy or a chocolate milk guy? Do you go that crazy?
Yeah, I even tried caramel milk once, and it was good.
Was it really?
Yeah, I heard about it. I seen it on TikTok or something, and I tried it. And I'm like, man, it's good. It tastes like a milkshake, even though it's like still the milk. It's kind of cool.
No way. Wait, okay, so what kind of cereal would you pair the caramel milk with?
Well, that's just if I like drink it, but I've always liked chocolate milk with Raisin Bran. That's always really good.
Seriously? I've never heard that before.
Only way I'll eat Raisin Bran is with chocolate milk.
Yeah, I you're probably falling the same boat with a lot of people. They're like, Raisin Bran, that is not even cereal to me. I'm not eating that. With chocolate milk, though. Mm-hmm. Okay, see, now I got to try that. That's really funny. Okay, I totally went off topic. Please continue with the thought, though. The bonus tip.
The bonus tip, I know I hear all the time, it's like, oh, man, this is all good for wedding photographers, but what about me? I do family sessions. You could use chatbot GTT, like GPT, that's hard to say. Like he said, you can type in, what are questions that people have about family photography? If you're like me, also do boudoir. Like, what questions do people have about boudoir? You know, what outfits should I wear? How do I make my kids behave during a session? What are some good outfits for a family session? What should I think about in choosing a location for family photos? What are some family photo locations in Chattanooga? What are some family locations in Atlanta? It's all about using your whole niche and finding out what questions it is.
And just as a side note, Patrick said, nah, that's gross. He was talking about the milk brand. Choice, I think, with the Raisin Bran. Yeah, that's good. You know what? Let's actually do this, because even though ChatGPT has been around for a while and really got a boost a number of months ago, I don't think, maybe I'm projecting a little bit, but I don't think people or photographers specifically are actively using it as a tool. So let's just demo what this would look like. I'm going to pull it up on screen here. Let's see. Let me actually go to.
While you're bringing that up, I'll kind of extend on it. I love using chatbot for that, because you can use it to say, hey, what are 10 things people have questions about wedding photography? And once it lists it to you, you can just copy it and be like, now write, you know, article ideas involving these topics. So not only can you answer one question, but you can break down each question into like 3 to 4 to 5 different articles for each topic. So that's how you can really build out your topical, you know, topical chart, as they say. Cause like for instance, maybe someone's saying, you know, what time should I do a wedding ceremony? So once you answer that question, maybe they're asking other questions about the ceremony. Like, why is it a good time to have your ceremony in the evening? Is it a good idea to have your ceremony in the morning? So you can break down each question into even more articles, to where Google's like, man, this dude knows everything about wedding ceremonies.
All right. Apologies for the slight delay there. I was working and trying to get the site pulled up, but I appreciate the additional recommendations though too. And so what we're going to do actually here, and let me just pull this up right on screen. I'm going to use the browser that we were using. 1 second here. Open AI. There it is. Okay. Well, everybody, thanks for your patience today. I thought this was going to go a little bit more smoothly. It's not been too terrible, but we're running into a little bit more of a technical difficulty. 1 second here, and I will get this up here on screen. I want to show everybody, and we'll log in. 1 second. Have you, while I'm pulling this up, Cody, have you used, what's your experience been with ChatGPT so far? I mean, what kind of applications have you used it for?
Oh, I love chatbot. I've used it for article ideas, or I've also used it for like a template for blogs. So let's say, you know, I've noticed that people are typing in, you know, what time should I have a wedding ceremony? I can go to chatbot GPT and say, write me an article about, you know, what time is, you know, the best time to have your ceremony. And obviously I don't use it word for word, and there's some stuff that you know, want to check and make sure it's right. But just getting the structure, it's much quicker for blog making than it is like sitting with a blank piece of paper. I'm like, okay, what heading should I have? I don't know. And what kind of like topic should I answer? Instead of just sitting with a blank piece of paper, it's like, hey, let me take this pretty solid article and just kind of read through it, change up a few things. Maybe you don't like this whole section, so you scrap it. It's much easier to take work and break it into something amazing than it is to sit with a blank piece of paper and be like, man, I just don't know what I should do with headings or, you know, what like it gives you a much better starting point.
Okay, cool. Well, and on that note, actually, and thanks everybody for your patience, I'm going to pull this up right here, and let's just feed me one of the questions actually that you gave me earlier, if you will. Something that somebody might ask ChatGPT in order to help or get some help creating content, topical content for their site. Let's ask it.
I would type in, write down a list of 10 things people have questions about family photography.
Okay, so give me a list of 10 things that people have about preparing. I'll get even more specific. Preparing for a family photo session.
Yeah, instead, yeah, that should be perfect. Wardrobe choices, location, timing, props, perfect. Hairstyle, makeup, like these are like literally stuff I get asked all the time.
And it's interesting here. I mean, first of all, again, the way that it presents the content, for anybody who's not seeing this live or watching the live stream, if you're just listening to the show, we just go to ChatGPT or chat.openai.com. If you don't have an account, you can create one. It's free. And you can use the 3.5 version. It doesn't cost you anything. And we just went in to type this question in, and it literally gave us a 10-point answer. Of course, beautifully structured. The grammar is great. And it doesn't mean, to Cody's earlier point, it doesn't mean that we just literally copy-paste this to our site. This might give us a really great starting point. Maybe we can use 50% of it, 75% of it. Maybe we can use 95% of it, and we just customize it a little bit for the purpose of our local marketplace or based on our personal experience, and add something personal to it for the sake of our brand. So again, not suggesting we just simply go copy paste everything straight out of the box, but it is a really, really incredible tool. Let's ask it another question. In fact, you know what? I'm going to come up with one. Let's say, what are 5 great locations in Chattanooga, Tennessee for a portrait session?
I use that prompt a lot for proposals and engagement sessions, believe it or not.
Cool. Yeah. And so this just kind of gives us a starting point. Now, for me as a photographer, this is a good example actually of where I might go, I might modify it, because I see these locations and there are elements of them that are really great. But number one, I may have to get permission, specific permission to be able to actually photograph at those locations. Maybe I'm aware of them, but I know that based on my particular style, one or two of these locations may not be ideal. So I'm going to go somewhere else. There are a lot of different things to consider. So here's an example of where I might modify the content, and I might replace one or two of them with my own specific suggestions based on my experience. But nonetheless, this is just a really great tool. And I think that a lot of photographers probably are underutilizing it. By the way, searching for locations is just one very tiny, tiny way that we can use the tool in our businesses. We can ask it marketing questions, certainly get examples of emails, for example, that we could send to somebody. Here's a particular context. I need help writing a really friendly email to this client who's presented this really challenging situation to me. You get super specific, very conversational, and ultimately it's a really valuable tool. So I know that we parked there for a long time, large part because I couldn't get ChatGPT pulled up. My apologies. Thanks to everybody for your patience. But just to kind of sum up what you were talking about there then, Cody, really what it comes down to then, number one, for the purpose of ultimately creating more topical content, we need to think about answering common questions that our target client has, whether it's a wedding client or portrait client or otherwise, commercial client. Number two, reach, in the context of wedding photography, reach brides no matter what they're searching for. But again, this is applicable to whatever type of client you may be working with. Think about the questions that they have and really use that as a frame of reference for writing content, or even using ChatGPT to help you write content for your site, and show that you're the authority ultimately. And demonstrating, I'm thinking about this, Cody, like demonstrating that I am an authority. This is where, you know, people are understandably asking the question, like, is AI just going to take over everything, right? They're going to render me useless in the context of my job. There are still plenty of opportunities for us to put our own experience and personality and humanness, for that matter, into the work that we're doing, that something like AI at this point can't do, not near to the level that we can. So in the context of establishing ourselves as an authority, here's where we have the opportunity to kind of weave into the conversation a personal experience, like a specific personal experience and story, and share information based on that personal experience, where we're making location suggestions. For example, ChatGPT made suggestions earlier that most of which were common kind of tourist sites. And yeah, there may be some locations that I can go to based on that for some great photos, but I know that those carry with them a number of caveats. I can say, hey, you may have heard, oh, we did it again. Do you see that?
The thumbs up.
The little thumbs up bubble. That is the weirdest thing. Give me 2 seconds. I think I know the solution this time.
Hilarious. I think I was watching a YouTube live stream the other day, and this guy like threw his hands up and shot off confetti or something. So it must have been some sort of update or something.
That is, yes. You know, Zoom does that actually, because I found this out when I was meeting with one of my team members the other day. Zoom actually does this. We've got the cat visiting us in the background. That's a good addition to the show. That's great. Okay, we're back. That was a quick fix this time. Nonetheless, positioning ourselves as an authority, ultimately the way that we can do that in many cases is to share from our unique experience. And I was using the example of locations for an actual portrait session, or for that matter, for, you know, taking our couples from a wedding to go photograph them. We can add a unique personal experience element to the conversation and the content that we're writing that I think can be particularly helpful. So nonetheless, this has been really helpful content, Cody. You've been a really wonderful communicator. Apologies to everybody, including yourself, for the tech difficulties that kind of got in the way today. But I think ultimately what we have here is some really practical, applicable content that our listeners can take away for the sake of improving their SEO. Yes, backlinks matter. Yes, keyword density, super important. But if we go to improve the user experience on our site and ultimately just load it up with incredibly helpful, valuable topical content, it is going to improve the user experience, the time on the site, and ultimately help us with our SEO. I really appreciate the great recommendations, Cody.
Anytime, man.
And I'm posting this on the site, but onefocusphotos.com and of course onefocusphotos on Instagram. We'll link to this in the show notes. I appreciate everybody chiming in, listening in today. And Cody, thanks once again for making time for the Boca podcast. Truly appreciate it.
Anytime, man. Always glad to be here.